Good morning.
Good morning.
The wait is over.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I don't deserve it. But as I've said, I've had to make notes because at my age, I forget a lot of the stuff I'm going to say or want to say. So bear with me for a minute, Brother Tommy.
Amen.
Your time.
No, sir. Go ahead.
I said in the other day when Brother Lewis had made my CD copies. Thank you, Brother Lewis. I forgot to mention him. It's been over 4/13 was the last time I saw him. Due to the stroke that I had, it's been over a year now.
Wow.
But Isaiah 41:10 says, I am your God, and I will be your strength.
Amen.
I will strengthen you is what it says. But I'm still not back completely normal, but as you know me, I've never been normal. Sure will. Amen that.
Amen.
But I want to say thanks for everybody that's been praying for me.
Bless you, Lord.
I've enjoyed all the other singers and specials and the sermons from Brother Tommy and what's your name? Rose Roots. Rose Roots. I listen to them on my tablet when I'm not here.
Thank the Lord.
I appreciate the opportunity to sing for the Lord because my talent comes from Him.
Yes.
And I'm just here as a vessel to give it back to Him, Brother John. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks to Jeanette for squeezing me in. I know somebody else was supposed to sing today, but bless her heart. That's not normal. Anyhow, thanks to Vicky for yesterday for helping yesterday with the mic and the sound and the music. After coming here in the rain and bad weather, and Cheryl don't like to drive in the rain either, so thanks to her for bringing me.
Amen.
Thanks to those who've asked about singing again, all both of you, maybe three. And for now, the song is I Believe, and it's a song, if you've heard of the Statler Brothers, the part, the guy that sung the high part, his name is Jimmy Fortune. You can see it on YouTube, but I do YouTube stuff a lot. But that's the group that had Counting Flowers on the Wall. Do you remember that song? A lot of you don't, but Anna Elizabeth, not this one. And a song called Oh Elizabeth, not that one. Okay, this could be an early Mother's Day song, because it's a week from today. And, by the way, Jimmy is now with the Brothers of the Heart. This song talks about heaven. I believe in a place called heaven. I believe in a place called Calvary.
Yes.
I believe in that he died for, I believe he's a man. I believe is a man named Jesus. And the second verse is more or less about mama. I have a mother and a stepmother and grandmother that's gone on to be with the Lord today. Up there around the throne. And pray that I'll get through this. Okay, Vicky, we're going to try it. Hopefully I'll be able to get through it. When I see the sunrise in the morning, when I feel the wind blow across my face, when I hear the sound of children playing, I know it's all part of God's amazing grace. I believe there's a place called heaven.
Amen.
And I believe in a place called Calvary. I believe in a man whose name is Jesus. Oh, I believe
yes, he did. Amen.
Amen. was there when my mama went to heaven. I held her hand as she closed her eyes to sleep. I felt the power of 10,000 angels to take her soul away, to be crowned at Jesus' feet. Now I believe there's a place called heaven, and I believe in a place called Calvary, and I believe in a man whose name is Jesus, and I believe that he gave
thank you, Jesus.
Oh, I believe that he gave his life for you, 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 and me.
Amen, amen. Amen, amen.
Customers and had to pick up the orders. Okay, I got the orders loaded in the vehicle and we're pulling off. One customer canceled, so I still got her stuff in my car. So I called headquarters and asked them and told them what had happened and asked them what they want me to do with it. They said, just go on about your business and deliver your first order. Don't worry about it. So I got to keep the order. But the lady had five-pound bags of rice. That's 20-pound bags of rice. We don't need that much rice. So if anybody needs 5-pound bags of rice, let me know now. I bring it tonight to you. I need some rice. Let me know.
Amen, Brother John. Thank you. Thank you. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 14. I appreciate Brother Bruce so much. I taught Sunday school. I was afraid if I tried to lead singing that the time preaching's time come, I would be done. It is a tremendous blessing to hear Brother Randy sing again. After his stroke, he couldn't talk. Real hard time just to be able to say a word. And he was so frustrated with that. Amen. And we prayed earnestly that God would touch him and meet that need. And it's just a tremendous blessing to see that God has heard and answered prayer.
Amen.
We give God the glory for that. Amen?
Amen.
Luke chapter 14, we're going to read verses 25 through 35, the remainder of that chapter, and try to share with you a message. Required to surrender all. Required to surrender all. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its savor, its taste, flavor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you, Lord, so much for your word. We especially need the help and ministry of the Holy Ghost to help us to rightly discern your word, rightly to divide your word, that we might please you. Lord, our desire is to teach the whole counsel of the word of God. And Lord, I pray that you'd make us mature, strong followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you do a work of convicting in our hearts this morning. Lord, if there are any among us who are lost and on their way to hell, please stir their heart to give them repentance and to lead them to receive Jesus this morning. This very service, we pray for the children in Children's Church, that you would open up their heart as well to the gospel. God, save the children, transform them by the power of the gospel. But please, Lord, help us as we look into your word to realize your calling, what you require of us, that we might begin to do those things that would bring you honor and glory and would please you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In the Bible, that's, you know, God's holy word, we are commanded to surrender our entire life to God. Now, that's not a question whether or not we are to surrender our all or not. It's stated over and over again in the Bible that we are to lay our lives down and surrender everything to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 33, it says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. That word demands that we give up, that we relinquish our rights, that we renounce everything other than Jesus. Jesus is now the one that's in charge of my entire life, and there's nothing in my life that he can't touch, change, demand. I am to be submissive to him in every area, even in the text. Sometimes people read that little word hate in verse 26, and that's hard to read, but he's not saying hate in the sense that we think of it when we read the word, because he's taught us to love our, respect our parents, to love our wives, to love our husbands. He's not contradicting what he says in the scriptures. What he's saying, he's using that word so he can contrast how much we love others versus how much we love him. If we love him like we ought to love him, people will say, Well, he doesn't even like his mom and dad. If we love him like we ought to love him, they say Jesus is so important to him that he loves Jesus more than his own wife or children. And they might even say of us, Jesus is so precious to him, he loves Jesus more than his own life. Wouldn't that be a great testimony for us to have? That people knew us would know that we love Jesus so much that we love him more than our very existence. Well, Jesus said if we're going to be trained or discipled or taught to be like him, that's the requirement, that we must come, lay our lives at his feet, and submit to his will. I think one of the problems in the church today is that we've lost sight of this. We think that Jesus is a ticket to heaven, and he gives those to anybody who prays a little prayer, and then you can live the rest of your life as you please. I promise you, you will find that nowhere in the scriptures. Jesus calls us to eternal life, and a part of that call is not just receiving him as Savior. You know, I know a lot of people who want Jesus as Savior. But it's the other part of that that we kind of shy away from, Lord. When we receive him as both Savior and Lord. That means that he is the God of our life. And as being the God of our life, he has the right to demand of us anything he wants. And our response is to be, yes, Lord. Even if that's above our wife's wishes or our husband's desires. Here, I'm not talking about divorce, because if we're divorced, his will is that we remain married. I'm talking about their preference. When God wants you to do something and the wife said, no, let's do it this way. You say, sweetheart, I love you, but this is what God's will is. And we must do the will of God. If you have children, you've felt this tension before. Right? You know that there's something God wants, and then there's your children pulling to do something else because all their friends are doing it, and you love your children, but you still have to say to them, look, I love you, I understand what you are saying, but we are not going to do that. And what would make a parent say that to a child? It would be because they are surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Where Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I mean, some of you can quote that. Anybody want to quote that? Romans 12, 1 and 2. It starts, I beseech you therefore, brethren.
Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. For this is your reasonable service. Be not transformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen.
That's really, really close. Paul said, you and I are to be living sacrifices. That doesn't seem like I have too much of a choice in the matter, does it?
No.
He said, what God expects, and by the way, he says, that is your reasonable service. Your reasonable response to Jesus is a forfeiture of your life. Now, let me tell you something. That's why a lot of people have a hard time becoming followers of Christ. Because they know a part of this, receive Jesus and believe Christ, is also including with that call of salvation, a call to, now you surrender your life to my way of living. And you do what I want you to do.
Amen.
Not only did Paul say that in Romans 12, but Peter said this in 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Put yourself under his hand, his authority, his control. By the way, that's what it takes to be surrendered. It takes humility. Why? Because pride hates to surrender itself to anyone else. That's why we have a hard time, even as Christians, when we come to this truth in the Bible that, preacher, you mean to surrender everything to Jesus? I mean, everything? Yes, everything. If we would humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. It's always different from the ways of the world. The ways of the world is push, climb, get to the top. And Jesus said, no, no, do the opposite. Get lower and lower and lower. Humble yourself, and I will do the exalting. Yes. Surrendering all to God. Paul mentions this in Galatians 2 and verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, not only did Jesus die at Calvary, but I died. I was crucified. The old me has been nailed to the cross. I am not to live for Tommy anymore. I'm to live for Jesus. Amen. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And what will He do? He will direct your paths. You know, all throughout the Bible, just the fact that God is God, right? Should resolve in our minds the issue of who is in charge. Who has the right to make demands? Who is responsible for bending the knee in submissiveness to our God? And so I want to just mention a few things this morning. I hope that they'll help you. First of all, the fear of surrender. You know, even among Christians, and when we hear this word surrender, we're like, oh, preacher, like, surrender all? Do I have to surrender everything? For some reason to that flesh, to our flesh, that's a very fear-inducing word, isn't it? When you talk to many about what God may want in their life as a believer, they really get uncomfortable and they start thinking, wait a minute now, do you mean that I have to give Him everything? What everything are you talking about? Even to the point that Paul said, if you're going to glorify God, glorify Him in what you eat and drink. Amen. What does that have to do with a Christian life? What I eat and I drink? Mm-hmm. It may have to do a lot with it.
Yes, right.
You see, what for some reason we have God, He has the right to say this over here, but Lord, you can't be dealing with all these issues here. I got this. This is my life. I'll let you have what you want at church, but after I leave church, that's a different story. It doesn't work that way. We are called to surrender, and that call sometimes is a very fearful call. And think about our first parents, Adam and Eve. They were called just to do what God required of them. Just surrender. And then along comes the tempter and he says, wait a minute, God is not interested in your best. You know, sometimes when we are confronted with something in the scriptures that we're not doing, our flesh wants to say, wait a minute now. Is that really what's best for me? And we want to foolishly argue with God. Does that make any sense? And all of us have been in church long enough and around other Christians long enough where we know that's a reality, because when you're trying to help a brother or sister that's dealing with sin, you say, look, the Bible clearly said you ought not to be doing this. Sometimes they insist on doing it anyway. By the way, sometimes we insist on doing it anyway. It's a fearful thing sometimes We're like our first parents. We think, well, maybe God doesn't have my good in mind. Or maybe he's trying to keep me from something. I mean, well, after all, you know, I enjoy this. And why would God want to take my joy away? I tell you, it must be something that's happening in the church today, because we see fewer and fewer men acknowledging that God has called them to be pastors and preachers of the gospel. Amen. Missionaries. If you look at what's going on in churches, behind the pulpit, the hairs are getting wider and wider, and there are few young men who are saying, this is what God has called me to do. Has God quit calling young men? No, I think the problem is young men are saying, if I yield to that, that means I've got to give up all of this. I can't have my money, I can't have my career, I can't have my fun. Right? That's the same thing our first parents went through. Sister Wilhelmina said they disobeyed and it destroyed them. Our disobedience likewise will destroy us. Anytime you see something in the Word of God and you're kind of backing away from it, you're saying, does God really want me to do that? And you're like, you know, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I, you know, let's say God moves on your heart to give a certain amount of money to someone. And you're like, wait a minute. I mean, I already struggle. Why should I do that? You know, God knows what he's doing. He's not going to lead you to do something that he's not going to take full responsibility for. If you know that it's God's Spirit leading you to do it, the best thing you can do is yield and submit to the leadership of God or witnessing to someone. Brother Brian recently, you know, was at the auto parts store. He left the store and he said, God told him, he said, you ought to give that guy a tract. And so he said he got a tract out of the car, went back in and gave the tract to Mr. Craig. And Mr. Craig came on a Sunday night. I think he came to the men's meeting the next Tuesday night. He came back last Sunday night. And afterwards, Brother Lewis cornered him, like Brother Lewis has a good way of doing it. And before the end of the evening, Mr. Craig bowed his head. He trusted Christ as his personal Savior. Amen. Now, what if Brian said, I don't want to do that. I mean, that's kind of awkward, you know. I just left the store. I need to go back in the store and get him. I mean, that's just kind of weird. I think I'll just go home. Sometimes just because we're afraid, fear keeps us from surrendering. But we should never fear our Lord, because he always is trying to do what is best in our life and what will be a blessing and benefits to others as well. He's the only true and living God. If he's the only true and living God, you and I ought to obey him and surrender to him. Amen? Regardless of what the fear is, the fact that he's God should override that fear. Yes. You know, it helps us if we meditate on these things. That when our flesh is pulling away, the devil doesn't want us to pray or read our Bible, and we say, no, I need to yield to God. I need to submit to God, because what? He's the only true and living God. I must obey God. There needs to be an increase of our desire to be obedient to God. Amen. Remember, he is the God of love. 1 John 4:16 says, God is love. God is love. God is never going to do something to you that's unloving. If he were to call you to be a missionary in some foreign field somewhere, guess what? He designed you for that. He gifted you for that. And you're going to find your greatest joy in that. Amen. And you can do anything else in the world, and you never will feel that void inside satisfied because you're out of God's will. Yeah. By the way, He's also all-knowing. And you are not.
Amen.
Amen. So when fear comes, we have to reject that fear. Secondly, I want to say to you about surrendering. It takes faith to surrender. Now, the reason I mention that is because when we're talking about the subject of surrender, I'm convinced that probably the majority of you have knelt in an altar or at your home sometime and you said, "Lord, I give you everything. I consecrate my entire life to you. My family's yours. My husband, my wife, it's yours. I give you absolutely everything. This car is yours. This house is yours. Lord, I yield my all to you." And for a while you are mindful of that. You're aware of that. You're doing well at that. And then all of a sudden, 6 months down the road, you kind of realize, wait a minute. I'm back in charge of my life again. Instead of listening to be submissive, I am moving forward on my own and doing my own thing. It takes faith for us to truly surrender to the Lord. I want to remind you of this because I think we all kind of lose sight of this as well. When you were saved, if you've been saved, you had to exercise faith. How many would agree to that?
Amen.
You realize that you were lost. You realize Jesus paid the price for you at Calvary. You realize that only He could save you, and you had to cry out to Him in faith and say, "Lord, save me. Forgive me and save me." And then what did you have to do? You had to trust that Jesus was going to do what He promised to do, that when you asked Him to save you, He would. Can I say something to you? Surrender is along those same lines. Remember, how many after you were saved, you began to wonder if you were really saved or not? How many, you know, I got saved and you started wondering. And what settled the wondering, what fixed the knowledge of you, you knew that you were saved, was you had to trust God's word. It wasn't a sign. It wasn't a vision. It wasn't some funny, fuzzy feeling. It wasn't that you talked in a different language you didn't understand. What settled it in your heart was, "I believe God." Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because the just shall live by faith. Can I also remind us all again, that's how we make progress in any area of our Christian life.
Yes.
Let me illustrate it by using this command of forgiveness. Sometimes we have been offended and it is a terrible offense against us. And we realize that God is still calling us to forgive this horrible offense that's been against us. And it's hard to do that. How many of y'all know that there's some situations where God is calling someone to forgive others and it is just tough? And if you know your Bible, if you were counseling them, you would have to say to them, "Listen, God has said to forgive. And you're going to have to forgive on faith." Amen. And so then you pray, "Oh God, I do forgive them. I don't want to forgive them. I don't feel like forgiving them. But Father, based on your command, your word, I forgive them. Thank you." And then what happens next? Did you really forgive them? Don't you remember what they said? Don't you remember what they do? And you know how? I mean, this. Listen, if you'll get this, it'll help you. How do you battle that? You don't battle that by going back and saying, well, I guess I need to forgive them again, I guess. Or maybe I didn't. You battle that by saying, no, I did what God told me to do. No matter how I feel about whether I have forgiven them or not, I have obeyed God. I have forgiven them. And you stand on that, and guess what will happen? When you stand on that, sooner or later, you will reap the fruit of that forgiving.
Amen.
You will know it in your own heart. That if you saw that person again, that you'd hold no animosity toward them whatsoever, that God has given you, by faith, forgiveness to that individual, no matter how awful they had mistreated you.
Amen.
Surrender is the same way.
Yes.
You say, preacher, I have surrendered. Praise God. Now, stand on that surrender by faith.
Amen.
And it's going to take that. You say, preacher, how often should you surrender? Paul said, I die daily.
Every day.
That don't mean that you have to pray every day, Lord, I surrender all. But that needs to be something that's constantly on your mind. And you need to know, I have yielded myself to God. And I'm trusting God that God will work it out. That every aspect of my life that seems to be unyielded, Christ will bring about a true yieldedness as I hold on to Him, Lord. I don't want to run my life. Because if I run my life, I'll ruin it. I want You to have control over my emotions, over my spirit, over my habits. I give You full control over everything in my life, and I yield that to You. And by the way, you're going to have to stand on that and resist the devil. Look in 1 Peter 5, it's verses 7 through 9. We know 7 and 8 well, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. And we know 8 well, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. But we don't know 9 at all. And verse 9 says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Remember Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6 that it is the shield of faith. And what does that faith does? It quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked. So yes, you have surrendered. It may be good for you to go back this morning and say, Lord, I want to recommit to being fully yielded to You. I surrender all that I am and have to You again this morning. And I pray that from now on that You would remind me to stand by faith. If I see something in my life that seems to be still under my control, I want You to overcome that because I want to be yielded to You in every area of my life. Let me quickly try to help you with the fruit of this. By the way, it's God that's working in you, Philippians 2:13, to do what? Both to will and do of His good pleasure. Amen? So what is the fruit of surrender? First of all, fruit of surrender is a right relationship with God. You can't have a right relationship with God and be a rebel. You can't have a right relationship with God and give God this part, but not this part. You can't be in a right relationship with God and have a public profession of faith, but privately when you're at your home, there is no profession of faith. You know, it ought to be that when you find any of us anywhere, we would be talking about Jesus and loving Jesus and committed to Jesus just as much out there in the world as in here in the house of God. And the fruit of surrender is living in this right relationship with God.
Yes.
Secondly, The fruit of surrender is a realization of His love and presence.
Yes.
Listen to me. There's some of us, some of you say, "Preacher, my faith is weak because I don't hear from God." People talk all the time about God spoke to me and I felt God's presence and God led me to do this and God. I don't know nothing about that, preacher. Why is that? Because John 14:21 says, if we obey His commandments, it shows that we love the Father. And because we love the Father, Jesus will love us. And then at the end of that verse, it says, Jesus says, and I will manifest myself to them.
Yeah.
I will make myself known to those who love me and obey me or surrender to me. It may be that you're not hearing Him because you're too far away from Him in rebellion. And the shepherd's voice is just as clear to the one that's close to them, but you are a distance away and you can't hear the shepherd's voice like the one close to him can. And so, how are you going to experience the presence of Christ in prayer, the powerful leadership of the Holy Ghost, or the empowering of the Spirit of God? That does not come to people who are not surrendered. And then lastly, the fruit of surrender is a rejoicing that only that unity with Christ brings.
Yeah.
Brother Phil was talking about this morning, listened to a sermon on worship. And he said it was such a help to him and a blessing to him. But you know where our worship has gone, where it's disappeared at? It's disappeared because there is no rejoicing in surrendered lives. And if we are obedient to Christ, and by the way, this is not an oppressive Christian life. That's not why He said, I want you to surrender everything so you could walk around all glum and, what's wrong with you? I'm a Christian. I have to surrender to Jesus. Oh. This Jesus stuff is just wearing me out, preacher. No, 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 no. It's just the that's what the world and the devil tries to convince you of.
Right.
What do you think heaven's like?
Okay.
Now they're sitting up there yawning, saying, "Oh my goodness, heaven." You know, atheists say, "I don't want to go to heaven because it's a perfect place. I want to go to the other place." That's what atheists say. It's insane that they would say that. It's insane and extremely foolish to say that.
Yes, it is.
But heaven is not a bored place.
It's not.
It is filled with worship and adoration and praise and music. And Christ is there and the angels are there and the church of God is there. It's a wonderful place. Well, why is it that we're not sensing heaven down here? It's because we're not as unified to Christ as we ought to be. And the only way to get as unified to Christ as we ought to be is if anything He requires of us, we say, "Yes, Lord."
Yes.
And that's the only response.
That's it.
Yes. Well, by the way, this will be tested. As soon as you make a commitment, guess what the devil does? He gets into overdrive, trying to knock your feet out from underneath you so you don't make any progress in that commitment. Let me tell you what you ought to do. If he knocks your feet out, you fall flat on your face. You ought to just stay there for a little bit and say, "Lord, without you, this is all I can do anyway. I'm surrendered. I'm yours. Take charge of my life and make me a glowing testimony for your glory." Amen? We all are required to surrender all to Jesus. And if God is tugging at your heart this morning, and when you go home, you have this little secret place that no one knows about, and you know you ought to give that up, Well, it's time. Or there's the reason you locked your phone is because there's stuff on there you don't want nobody to see. It's time to unlock the phone. Or you go places that if people knew that you went to where you're going, they would say, "What in the world are you doing? You can't go there." It's time to give those places up. Because the only way we're ever going to have God to come down and meet with us is that we get thoroughly right with Him ourselves. Amen? And so if there's anything between you and Jesus today, I want to ask you to come and surrender that to Him. Would you do that today? If you're lost, you need to come and say, "Lord, here's my life. Take it." And if you're saved and there's some things there that ought not to be there, and God's Spirit has put His finger on it, would you come this morning and say, "Lord, this is yours"? Let's stand for prayer. Father, it's one thing for us to say Jesus is Lord, but I'm afraid often we need to hear the rebuke of Jesus when He said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" You speak to us about church attendance, and we make up our own minds of whether or not we're going to be faithful. You tell us that we ought to tithe, and we make up our own mind about whether or not we're going to do that or not. You tell us to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And Lord, we make up our own mind whether or not we're going to tell anybody about Jesus or not. And on it goes, Lord. There are things in our life that ought not to be there. Lord, help us to bring those things to you this morning. Lay them in the altar. And say, "God, my whole heart, my whole life, it's yours. Do with me whatever you please. Make it true for each one of us, Jesus. Bless in this invitation. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen."
Amen. Turn to your Bible. You're showing with the 489.